I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
Had to miss Monday. How bad did J.R. Smith get crushed?
Pretty badly.
Yeah, pretty bad. You mean Friday?
Friday, yeah.
Oh, Friday, yeah.
Yeah. There's something else you missed on Friday. We haven't told you about it.
Have you not heard about it yet? It happened first segment Friday?
No.
Rockstar, you want to be the one to tell him?
No, I think Jim.
Yeah, you're probably getting more.
Telling
yeah,
this.
Jim, you can get more.
He's needed us every hour.
Let's see. Our former producer Jacob was on vacation. You were on vacation. We were on remote.
Skeleton crew.
On remote down at Brown sponsored Ernest McCarty Ford in Alabaster.
Yeah, my great people at Ernest McCarty Ford just off Highway 31.
On the eve of Alabaster City Fest. So some nice guy has opened up a car dealership at 5 a.m. so the Jocks Roundtable can set up. Alabaster City Fest reps are there, some with their daughters, probably 10 of them strong with biscuits and coffee gathered around the Jocks table waiting for the show to start. 5:45, I'm sitting there. 5:50, I'm sitting there. I get a phone call from Mr. Reliable over here.
He's in the studio?
No, he's at his house.
He's in the sheets.
It was bound to happen to someone, right?
I was the first one.
Yep. So solo first segment. But as I said on the show, we did a poll question. I said, should Brown be punished for missing the start of the show or be praised for calling when he called from his house in Highland Lakes and making it to Ernest?
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. You dumped that?
I didn't.
Well, he's got a gate. Go ahead.
Yeah, you got a gate. I talk about the gated community all the time.
Well, that's a joke, though, Jim.
There's only one in Birmingham.
So, or should he be praised that he made it by the start of the second segment?
No, that is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume you skipped the shower?
No, that was the thing. Had we been in studio, I would have made the start of the show. But the fact that we were at a sponsor.
That's tough.
I had to at least shower and look presentable. And not only a sponsor, but a sponsor I endorse. So, yes, I had to shower and look presentable.
So what happened? I thought you had, like, backup
alarms. I do. It's a weird thing. And a number of our listeners say the same thing happened to them. The same things happened to my wife. My alarm was going off, but it wasn't making sound. And a lot of people gave
that's
me
a problem.
Some. Yeah, I know. It's scary because it's my only alarm on my phone. And a lot of people gave me some fixes on the iPhone to get around that. So I hope I have fixed it. But I had no backup. I was a bachelor. Nobody else was at my house that week.
So you know me. You think LeBron was pouting on the bench. That first segment, I was like, so J.R. Smith didn't know the situation last night. Take your phone calls, 834-9450, at Jocks Roundtable on Twitter. Rocky Ty Lue. Last night, Ty Lue.
Let's hear the whole press conference.
Yeah, whole press conference. I played about a minute. 45
yeah, I mean, JR's was in game, and maybe a panic took over. But Brown has known tip time for the last what 3 months.
That's true. Yes, I missed the start of the game.
Not only does he know the tip time, LT, he brags about how much he loves the mornings.
I do.
He's the first one to miss.
I was. I'm not going to try to.
I'm surprised without the alarm, you were able to still get up that early.
It was one of those deals where I woke up and I rolled over and I saw sunshine and I immediately knew I'd screwed up. I didn't even have to look at the clock.
As I explained to him, though, my cell phone is always on silent. So if you call me, it's not going to ring. My alarm goes off. If mine doesn't work for some reason.
We're not waking you up.
9 o'clock is the next time you see me. I'll call you at 9.
I won't call you
at 5:50.
I missed
It'll
the whole
9
show.
O'clock.
Yeah.
I did not get out of bed before 9 o'clock any on vacation.
Welcome
not
home.
Not one time.
Yeah. That's all.
So I was scared to death I wasn't going to make it today.
That was all me in Chicago. First off, the hockey fan. And I want to ask you guys what you thought of this situation. But there was a hockey fan who wore double underwear to the Capitals game the other night.
Seems hot.
Yes, hot to start with. I understand where you're going there. But he's a teenager, and he's going to the hockey game the other night, Jack Merritt, and he wanted to smuggle in. This is all about smuggling in a crab into the Stanley Cup Finals. According to the Washington Post.
Crabs in his britches.
Yes, right. Yes, so yes. We're all thinking it.
According to the Washington Post, Merritt's grandmother last week surprised him with tickets to Game 3, and he was thinking he wanted to do something fan-specific like they do in Detroit with the octopus and in Nashville with the catfish. So he says being in the Washington area, Baltimore area, he was thinking about crabs. So a seasoned crab, how is he going to get it into the stadium?
So a seasoned, are we talking about still alive?
No, no, it's been cooked, steamed with the spicy seasoning.
That's going to be tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, you're going to want to let that cool before you put it in your underwear.
As the horn sounded, Merritt tossed the crab over the glass. It only lost one claw in the process when it hit the ice, and it rested right at Alex Ovechkin's feet as he gets ready for the faceoff. And my question is, with the Old Bay seasoning and stuff, And all of that he had picked up the crab for $6, a whole crab, before you crack that thing open.
This guy went to way too much effort for this.
That's what he writes. The guy at Big Lead writing about the story. Was it worth it or not to do this as
a fan? Because it's not going to catch on. You know, if it catches on, hey, look, I'm the guy that started that 3 or 4 years ago, but there's no way everyone's going to go to this much trouble to bring in a seasoned crab.
You ask why double layering of the underwear. You don't want that seasoning to get on the...
The goods.
Well, you do not, no.
Or you just don't have to do it at all. I mean, why do you have to season? Why not put it? They're not cooking the octopus, are they? Like, what are they? Why are they?
No, it's raw catfish, raw octopus.
So why are you doing prepping it?
That'll light you up. You know, soap goes in the wrong sometimes, man. Yeah. I can't imagine the seasoning.
I just can't. Yeah, you're right. That woof.
The best fan, though, of the night, in my opinion, is a lady named Gabby DeMarco. Okay. Padres game last night, sitting behind the netting. Club level, Padres game, Petco Field last night. Foul ball comes her way. She's got a half beer cup left. She grabs it with the cup, catches the foul ball inside the cup.
I've seen this happen. It's pretty rare.
But it's impressive when it happens by itself. Well, the beer now is, the ball's soaking in the beer. The fans, as she's holding up the ball that she has caught, it's on SportsCenter right now. So she's holding up the beer, and all the fans start chanting, "Chug, chug, 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 chug." And she does, guzzling the entire rest of the beer around the ball. Now, if you've played baseball or been to games, you know.
That's not an artificial tree she's wearing either.
That is not.
Or not a real tree, I should say.
She's got a pre-lit Christmas tree?
Yeah. I'm going to say she's chugged a beer or two before.
You don't think this is the first time?
No, she's a professional.
Okay.
So that ball, you get a lot of spit on it.
Oh, you get a lot of stuff on it. Yeah, it's in dirt, grass.
Tobacco.
Yeah. Tobacco juice.
No telling what foreign substance the pitcher's using from his forearm on the ball.
A lot of DNA on that ball.
Yeah. Little Vaseline.
Yep.
Little suntan lotion, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit of everything on that thing.
You get all of that on there. She guzzles the beer. Our first Dreamland Barbecue poll question. Impressive she catches it and guzzles it, or disgusting?
I would say impressive. You know, watching the video, it's like it's almost staged. It's impossible to stage, obviously, with a foul ball. But for her to not only make the clean catch, which Brown said, we've seen it before, but you don't see it a lot, and then to actually guzzle the entire beer, it was almost set up. But I would go impressive. It's got a disgusting element to it.
Yeah, I would go more disgusting than impressive. It is impressive, but it is more disgusting to me.
How about this? If you're on a date with her, it's your third or fourth date, and she pulls that off.
What, the beer chug or the beer chug with a baseball in the cup?
Is that a keeper, or are you like, she's got more skeletons in the closet than
that's an
about.
Excellent question, Lance. I don't know where I would go on that one.
See, I think she's probably...
she seemed like a fun young lady, but you just drink a beer with a baseball in it.
She's got some mileage on the tires.
Would you go for the goodnight kiss later that night or no?
She chewed gum since.
And she brushed her teeth.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of questions I need answered.
Yeah, but we don't have a toothbrush with us at the ballpark. You're taking her home, walking her to the door like a good Southern gentleman after the game.
Put some Purell up in her mouth.
I can't imagine drinking anything with a baseball in it that has been all over the field. Now, call me soft. I don't deny that.
Drink those nasty ping pong balls where they play beer pong.
Yeah, beer pong, you're right.
That's disgusting. I mean,
there's no telling where that's
going. Some guy's adjusting his junk, and then he goes straight for
it. I haven't washed my hands since Saturday.
I know.
Drink up.
Rolling around on the frat floor.
That thing's been over in the corner with the spider webs. Oh, here's a ping pong ball.
That is a good point. I've done that before.
You have?
Yeah, you've drank a ping pong ball.
Oh, the alcohol sanitizes it. We're good.
I don't think Brown's played
I've never played beer pong, Jim.
Ever?
Ever.
Not even with Mountain Dew?
No.
That's a party.
Mountain Dew pong. That just disgusts me to think about drinking. I mean, again, I know we're soft. We talk about it all the time. But that disgusts me thinking of drinking any drink with a used baseball in it. That's awful.
You can vote right now. Dreamland Barbecue. It's our first Dreamland Barbecue poll question of the day. Dreamland Barbecue. Ain't nothing like them nowhere, Lance.
Yeah, get into one of those great locations for lunch today. Huntsville, there's the Northport, Tuscaloosa, a couple of locations right here in Birmingham, including 280. For more information and to have ribs shipped anywhere in America, go to dreamlandbbq.com. If you ever funneled beer back in the day.
Never done that.
Like, I'll never forget being on the beach and people just passing funnel to funnel. So you got, you know, 15, 20 different people's lips.
And guy changed his oil using that funnel. You know he did. It wasn't fresh.
It's a weird funnel to use.
Yeah, probably haven't used that one.
That's why we had a big
truck. I'm extra cautious.
Yes. But, I mean, I gagged a little bit when I saw the Titans offensive lineman luging the beer off the catfish. You remember that one?
Yes.
I'd rather drink with the ball.
Well, I had two, given the choice. If I could only drink a beer with a baseball in it or luge a beer off a catfish, I'm going to drink a beer with a baseball in it.
Well, that may be a better question. Poll question, too.
What?
Another Dreamland poll question. Drink the beer, guzzle the beer with the ball in it, or off of the catfish? The slimy catfish. I think I'm with Lance. I'd rather do ball and
there's no doubt.
Baseball and cup than I would off the fish.
I think that's going to be a blowout
that's smell test right there.
Yeah.
Mm. Woo! Guaranteed NFL success, career and success in the NFL that's going to play college football this year. Give me one or two off the top of your head, Lance.
I'll go A.J. Brown, wide receiver out of Ole Miss. 6'1", 225. He's got great hands. He's got speed. He's got the physicality. I don't really know a weakness in the game right now.
Safer bet at wide receiver than any of the quarterbacks, right?
Probably so. Quarterback's just so difficult. And especially some of the guys that you've got right now, size-wise, how they're going to translate to the NFL. Like, if you're to tell me that Baker Mayfield's going to 100% have success, I'd feel better about guys like Trace McSorley and Will Greer.
Okay. Brown, do you have one?
We
may come back to you, so have number two ready.
Okay. I would go Ed Oliver, Houston.
Okay.
Defensive lineman. This guy is a beast. There was a lot of talk after his freshman year. And that's not the only guy I'm aware that people say this about. I'm just saying in reference to him, after his freshman year, that if freshmen could go to the NFL, this guy would be maybe a number one pick.
Yeah, right? More than likely he is going to be your number one overall pick.
He can wreck an entire game. And, boy, this is going to sound, I mean, it is. It's a slight at the AAC. That's the only way I can say it. The only thing I hope, Lance, for Ed Oliver is the AAC offensive line talent is somewhere close to what you get in the Power 5, so I'm seeing him against elite offensive linemen. That's the one thing I don't know. How elite are the offensive linemen he's playing every week?
Well, people ask the question, is he the next Aaron Donald, or is he the next Ndamukong Suh, or is he someone else?
He looks the part of an Aaron Donald right now.
He really does.
I go back to what Brown says in the AAC, you know, I mean, he's unblockable.
But that scares me a little bit. I mean, I'd like to see him in a power, and that's not, I mean, look, good players come out of the AAC, I know that, but do you feel like in a conference schedule, he's facing the quality of offensive lineman that you would face in any of the Power 5 conferences?
Yeah, no.
Probably not. I mean, you probably run against an offensive lineman or two in that league, but not a whole unit, right?
Yeah.
So you can move around on the defensive line and find a weak spot.
Get favorable matchups.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that's one thing that worries me about Ed Oliver, but we've seen players come to the AAC schools and be fine in the NFL. So I'm willing to say I would bet on Ed Oliver right now.
We're going to get another Triple Crown winner this weekend and justify as he runs into Belmont.
You're calling that,
submitting?
So my question, I'm not submitting. I'm still cheering for an upset, but it looks like Justify is the only true bloodline that's going to be in the Belmont this weekend. So I'm going to go bloodline on mine.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what Nick Bosa is doing in college that Joey didn't do in college. Against the same competition, and Joey Bosa's killing it in the NFL. Give me Nick Bosa as a guy. I'm going to go bloodline here and say the Fighting Bosas. Give me Nick Bosa at Ohio State as a guy that's going to have a great NFL career.
I think Nick will end up being a first-round guy. I don't think he's as dominant as Joey was, because Joey's final year in Columbus, I mean, he was another guy that was unblockable, but Nick's rising fast.
All right. We want yours on Twitter as well. NFL players that will be great in the NFL that are going to play college football this season. More on a big story from yesterday, Jay Jacobs leaving Auburn, going to Pelham. Pelham Gator is actually on the phone with us. Hey, PG, what's up, man?
It's going
hey,
to Florida.
Good morning. Sorry I missed you guys at Alabaster City Fest. I want to congratulate you on the state of art for a high school. Thompson is unbelievable for us.
How much did you donate towards that, Jim?
Well, that's a private donation. I'd rather not
okay.
say.
Okay. Yes. Right.
6 years.
Yeah. He donated 6 years of his life to it, Pelham Gate.
No, but I will tell you, PG, it was funny. My wife and I were in the car, the Ram truck, riding down to Alabaster City Fest. And, you know, there's a little bit of an age difference between me and my wife. There's a high school that I went to, and then there's a high school that I referred to as the new high school that has now been replaced by this high school. That shows you how old I am, Pelham Gator. So
hey,
I was
man.
Going.
Look at Pelham High School.
Yeah, we were riding down, and I was like, yeah, you know, it's a shame that, you know, we did not get to go to the new high school before they now built this new massive high school. And she's like, oh, I did. And I was like, wait a second. You went to the new high school?
That over there, we used to be the science log cabin.
So the age difference is so much that I'm now two high schools back building-wise, which I don't even know what that is now. It's probably where they park and change the oil in the buses. And then she went to what is now the old high school, and now there's a new one. It's a massive, beautiful place, and I can't wait to see the football field at Thompson Finish. It's a complete stadium. It's enclosed. It's a bowl.
An unbelievable indoor practice facility.
Yeah, crazy?
An indoor practice facility. Yeah. Georgia is
just got there.
I mean, Mark Rick.
That's why you have Mark Ricks and Coral Gables now.
Mark Rick used to have to fight to get one at Georgia, and they have one at Thompson.
Yes.
And McElwain took forever. He got us one, too, so we're too far. Hey, the thing about Jake Jacobs, I was kidding with Alabama. I've been getting a lot of texts. He said, you know, they're talking about they're going to bring you a bag man and a quarterback down there. And I said, oh, you know, of course, you're going to get them kind of text. But the question is, with his ability administration, I know we're already with Bradfield and Gorey getting ready to build a $130 million football facility and new baseball stadium starting and softball renovations. What will he exactly do? I mean, executive athletic director, I mean, Gator Vision, is he is he really as good as the people say he is in the administration? I know on his watch he's had some bad things with the softball.
What he'll do, Pelham Gator, is that he will be a liaison between the athletic department and those money people.
Yeah, so it's more communications, marketing, tickets, things of those nature.
But that's what Jay Jacobs is good at. He's good at small talk and making you feel good and reaching into your pocket and helping to donate with a program. I just want to know, Brown, he spent 30 years with Auburn.
Right.
That's his school at Auburn. 13 is the athletic director. Now he's going to go to Florida. Is Jay Jacobs as good at Florida, at not his school, at a place he hasn't been at for 3 decades, at doing what he's going to be asked to do?
Well, in that role, yeah, he's fine.
As he was at Auburn.
Yeah, in that role, he'll be fine. I mean, you're not asking him to be athletics director. You're not asking him to replace, you know, Dan Mullen if it doesn't work, or Mike White if it doesn't work. I mean, you're not asking him to do that.
To make a coaching hire.
And what Auburn fans would say is, more importantly for Florida, you're not asking him to negotiate those contracts, because what Auburn fans feel like Jay Jacobs was really weak at was getting run over by coaches and agents in contract negotiations. And that you got a lot of sweetheart deals down there at Auburn because Jay Jacobs was, you know, was not good at doing that. Jay Jacobs had some sketchy hires on his watch. Sonny Galloway, the baseball coach, which was praised, by the way, when he was hired.
Right.
Ended up being a complete and abject disaster. Ended up in court on that one. The softball coach, Myers, who was praised when he was hired.
No, that's a great hire.
Well, it ended up blowing up in your face.
It did, and it cost some people their jobs. But Clint Myers also flipped that,
there's no
that
doubt
softball program from being not relevant to relevant.
Well, the most controversial hire was Gus Malzahn.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, running, ending the Gene Chizik time very quickly and bringing Gus Malzahn back.
Technically, the more controversial hire was Gene Chizik probably than Gus Malzahn, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but got a national championship.
It was a highly questioned hire when he made it.
Well, that's another great Dreamland Barbecue poll question. Most controversial hire by Jay Jacobs while he was
there. From outside of the program, it was probably Bruce Pearl. Because Bruce Pearl was untouchable to a lot of people at that particular time.
But
how good does that look right now?
It looks tremendous.
Well, we all agreed when it was done that this thing was going to be a success.
Yeah, but quality of coach, Bruce Pearl, you got way more quality of a coach than you ever should have for that basketball program. Only because, let's be honest about it, it was the situation Bruce was in. He had to have a life raft. And you were more than glad to give a coach of that caliber a life raft with the gamble of the whole NCAA cloud that hung over him.
Bruce joins us at the top of the hour, by the way, Bruce Pearl. So we'll ask him his thoughts on Jay Jacobs.
But, I mean, to me, this is just a support role.
It's to me, it's Scott Strickland, the athletic director, the ability to have someone who has done a lot of stuff in the SEC to have him in the room to where I can ask Jay a question.
This feels like Butch Jones in Tuscaloosa. Am I off?
Butch Jones. I just wonder what you would have to pay Jay Jacobs for this role.
Butch Jones was a head coach. I hire him as a analyst. He's not doing any on-field coaching for me, but it's always good to have another SEC head coach in the room with me. And I think that's what Scott Strickland feels like. Jay Jacobs is no threat to me. Butch Jones is no threat to Nick Saban. Nobody's going to be saying, you know, Jay Jacobs ought to replace Scott Strickland at Florida. But I've got another guy that was just now an AD at an SEC school. It's good to have him in the room.
Bobby says, Brown, when they put a huge, huge scoreboard the size of an airplane at one end of the swamp and keep a relic at the other end, we'll see if you still think Jay Jacobs can't mess up Florida.
But he's not making those decisions. I know he's over Gator Vision, whatever that means. But, I mean, Scott Strickland's the guy that's going to be making those calls. You trust Scott Strickland, don't you?
Absolutely. Wisconsin and Notre Dame are going to play 2020 at Lambeau Field. You like that or you don't like that?
I like it.
Yeah, I like it. It's a nice novelty. I kind of like the Lambeau, and I know Northwestern is doing a
Wrigley Field game.
Yeah, Wrigley game again with, I think, Wisconsin.
I think it's Wisconsin. Yeah.
I think that LSU-Wisconsin game had a great atmosphere.
Just some bad offense from LSU.
Well, I mean, LSU gave it away, and Les Miles was terrible down the stretch.
I was going to bring that up, Brown, that maybe it was because it was a day game. I did not like LSU-Wisconsin at Lambeau as much as I thought I was going to.
I'm just saying I thought it had a good atmosphere. Yeah, it didn't feel like your normal college game at a pro stadium, I guess is what I would say.
How excited would Alabama fans to be doing a home-and-home and the home part of Wisconsin to be in Lambeau? Auburn fans, a home and home.
Would you? That's a good question. Would you, if you got one shot at Wisconsin, would you rather it be Camp Randall or Lambeau?
Yeah, I would rather play Wisconsin at Camp Randall.
I think
and
I had
go
too.
To a Packers game at Lambeau.
I think I had to make a weekend of it.
The whole Lambeau mystique to me is cold and Packer game. I don't care to watch anything else. I don't care to watch an Alabama or a Wisconsin game or an LSU game or a Notre Dame game at Lambeau. It's not like Wrigley Field where you have the ivy or the big green
monster. Well, I'd rather go to Camp Randall anyway, but I think it seems to be one of the great college stadiums, at least fourth quarter, House of Pain, and it's supposed to be a really fun camp.
Another good Dreamland Barbecue poll question right there. Would you rather play Wisconsin at Camp Randall or at Lambeau Field? I think I'd rather play them at Camp Randall. We do want to take a moment to remember the bravery of those that on this day back in 1944 saved the world. With D-Day, storming the beaches at Normandy.
10,000 killed or injured in one day. Can you imagine that? 10,000.
You know, on Memorial Day, I went back and watched Saving Private Ryan again.
Mm-hmm.
And just the reenactment of that from Steven Spielberg. I mean, just how powerful that first 15 or 20 minutes of that film is.
And you talk to people who were actually on the beaches, and they say he got it right. I mean, that's what it was like, if not worse. And it's hard to believe it could be worse. You know, you would think that people that were alive then would think, well, there's never a day or there'll never be a time where that day will slip up on us, right?
Right.
We'll always remember June 6th. And now, you know, you do kind of forget it, unfortunately. And you just wonder how many days have we had like that in our society? Like, I mean,
well,
our generation.
We'll ever forget 9/11.
Yeah, I think eventually it'll slip away. I think it'll mean less and less to the generations after us. And in 100 years, somebody will be sitting right here doing a radio show and they'll say, hey, by the way, you know, it's September 11th.
Because this isn't fair, but to me, 9/11, at least in my lifetime, is obviously more symbolic than June 6th.
Well, you lived it.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. You lived it and remember. We don't remember June 6, 1944. That's our grandparents.
It's like December 7th. Yeah. The bombing of Pearl Harbor.
And that's another one. Pearl Harbor Day, people that were alive then would think, well, America will remember this day forever.
Forever.
How often is Pearl Harbor Day ever mentioned?
It is. It's just not the way it should be.
Right. And that's my point. And I would say that about September 11th, Lance. I think there'll come a time where it'll just be another day. I mean, you know, it'll get mentioned, you know, 100 years ago, September 11th was, and then you'll have to explain what happened probably.
Yeah. It's another opportunity to us to say what we should say more often. But thank you to the men and women who have served and are serving right now and those that will make choices over the next few weeks to join our military. There are some of you who have just graduated high school, are making decisions about life, that are making the choice to be part of our military. And we appreciate you for your service, and thank you so much for those that have, those that are, and those that will be on this day as we remember those back on 1944 on June 6th, the day they stormed the beaches and saved freedom. Flip the script.
Boy, that, our grandparents' generation saved the world, man. Because that
couple times.
Yeah, but man, that World War II, that thing goes the other way. We got a mess on our hands, and they stepped in and changed everything.
Always love it when Brown gives you the obvious right there.
What?
It would have changed everything.
I mean, it's like the world was almost at war for a second time.
If it'd gone the other way, yeah. Right, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, have you guys watched?
Germany had some bad hombres back then.
They did, buddy. It makes you think, though, if you've ever watched Man in the High Castle. Have you guys ever watched that?
I watched like 3 or 4 episodes.
So, but okay. I mean, and you may not like the show.
I'm waiting for the third season to come.
I am, too. It's an alternate reality. And you may not like the show, but it does make you think, because the West Coast is controlled by Japan, and the East Coast is controlled by Nazi Germany.
Don't give it away.
Well, I mean, that's in the first episode.
Yeah. Are we in the neutral zone? Are we?
Well, there's a place. We're in Germany, I believe. I believe we would be in Nazi Germany. And it just makes you think for a minute, man. If we'd gone the other way, is that how we're living right now?
It's a weird-looking map, too.
It is a weird-looking map.
Let's do four downs. Brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tire.
Hey, if you're looking for a new set of tires replaced to have your vehicle serviced, look no further than Vulcan Tire and Automotive, locally owned, independently run. Two great locations, one right up of I-459 in Trustful, the new Moody location right up of I-20, a half mile past the Publix.
First down.
Okay, guys, I got a burning question that Dunaway wrote. Who are the starting quarterbacks in this year's cocktail party?
I think it's a... People would
really
disagree. I think it's a more intriguing question on the Florida side, because to me, Jake Fromm getting better each and every week for Georgia, as good as Justin Fields can be, I just don't see Fromm off the field right now. So I'm going to say Jake Fromm, and then on the other side, Felipe Franks has got the most experience, and I think Dan Mullen can work wonders with quarterbacks. Emory Jones is going to ultimately be their quarterback, but I think Felipe Franks and Jake Fromm, your starting quarterbacks week one, will still be the starters in the cocktail party.
Even with all the Emory Jones talk, I continue to go back to what Cole said on this show after he came back from doing the Florida spring game, that in talking with their coaches, he got the distinct feeling that Emory Jones does not see the field this year. And Dan Mullen is not in a situation where he's got to win right away. He can bring Emory Jones along. Now, I agree with Lance. I think Felipe Franks actually has a skill set that Dan Mullen can work with and improve on. I think it'll be Fromm and Franks.
Fromm and Franks. Now, yep. You can factor in injuries and anything.
Sure.
Here. Fromm and Franks would be your betting favorites, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Fromm and Emory Jones, despite what Cole says, at some point, seeing the opportunity to win and maybe quarterback play not being where he wants. He gets Emory some playing time and eventually wins the job. That's an upset. I'll take the upset.
Okay.
Second down.
Which one of these middle-of-the-road programs has major success before the others? Illinois, Maryland, Pitt, or Boston College?
I think I would take Maryland. I like DJ Durkin. I think they would have had a pretty good team last year if they don't just get ravaged by injuries at quarterback. I think they ended up playing 4 quarterbacks, if I'm not mistaken. Right out of the chute, they are hammering Texas out in Austin. And Tyrell Pickerum from Clay Chalkville goes down hurt. The backup got hurt the next game, I believe. I think it's Maryland. I think they get a decent recruiting base up there in the D.C. area. And I think Maryland will be the team of those that has the most success.
I would agree, Dunaway. I think Maryland is your answer here. I like Steve Adazio at Boston College. I like Pat Narduzzi at Pittsburgh. But I think DJ Durkin, in year two, you saw him kind of turn the corner in a really competitive Big Ten East. You know, I don't know how you get out of there and you navigate it with Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Penn State.
That's the problem.
That's tough.
I still do believe Maryland's got enough where they could get 6 or 7 wins. Yeah, that is the problem. I don't know. Now that I really start to think about
but
it might
got
be
the,
Pittsburgh.
I've got the – Pittsburgh is in a better spot in the ACC, obviously. I've got zero faith in Illinois ever getting this thing turned around.
I agree with that.
Who was my other one?
Boston College.
Boston College, yeah.
You have 2 Big Tens, 2 ACCs.
Yeah, Boston College just doesn't do much for me. It's either Maryland or Pitt.
I think I'm going to go back and lean Pitt.
Degree of difficulty is easier for Pitt.
Pitt was my answer, and they just picked up tight end Will Gregg from Arkansas in the transfer situation. Not that he's the one that gets them over the hump, but I think Pitt, we've seen Boston College go elite more recently when Matt Ryan was the quarterback a decade ago. Pitt's okay, but I'm going to go Pitt in that one, Rockstar.
Third down.
Who is the Heisman favorite on Halloween night that ends up not winning the Heisman?
I'll go Will Grier. I think this West Virginia offense is going to pop. I think he is viewed as maybe the best quarterback coming back. And this is a team that could easily be 8-0 when they roll into Austin on November 3rd. And I think there's a good chance they lose three of their last four games. Because they got to go to Texas. They got TCU at home. Then they go to Oklahoma State. And then they close out with Oklahoma. So I'm going to say Will Grier.
I see what you're saying there, that he has good numbers. And then the schedule gets really tough at the end.
I'm going to go Bryce Love. And I don't know that it's entirely by Bryce Love's making. I just think down towards the end of the season, one thing that's helping him at the end of his season in November is he doesn't play a ton of good defenses, so he can put up some numbers there. But on the flip side of that, he doesn't play a lot of primo games either. So they play Washington November 3rd, which could be the biggest regular season game in the Pac-12 this year there in Seattle, right? But that's a pretty good defense, too. So he's going to have to fight for yards in that game. But listen to the end of his schedule and tell me which of these games gets him any attention. Oregon State, at Cal, and at UCLA. I just don't think there'll be a lot of eyeballs on him at the end, even if he's putting up big numbers.
Unless UCLA is battling USC or Arizona for Pac-12 West.
That'd be the only way is if Chip Kelly is able to breathe life into UCLA right away. But Oregon State, Cal, and UCLA aren't great games for him down the stretch.
I'm going to go Jarrett Stidham. Halloween night, he's the guy that has the lead in the country for the Heisman, and then he doesn't win it after playing Texas A&M, Georgia, and Alabama in three of the last four games.
That'd be a story. I think Auburn fans would take it, though, at least going into Halloween night.
Yep.
Fourth down.
After Central Florida won the national championship last year, which team from the state of Florida is next to win a national championship?
I think most people would believe Miami's your closest this year, but I'm still going to, and Dan Mullen I trust, and I'm going to go Dan Mullen in Florida, and I think it'll be in the next 5 or 6 years.
Lance and I agreed a lot here, and we agree again. I'm going Dan Mullen. I think he will win a national championship at Florida. I don't know that I can say that about Rick at Miami or Willie Taggart at Florida State or Lane Kiffin at Florida Atlantic.
Central Florida.
Or
Josh
Heupel at Central Florida.
So you're
UFC.
Going Mullen as well?
I'll go Dan Mullen.
Or
Charlie Strong at South Florida. I'll just throw Mullen.
I'll go Mullen as well, too, because of the power of the SEC. I think you win the SEC, you get a chance to be in the playoffs. And even though I think Willie Taggart's closer at Florida State, I'm going to say Dan Mullen in Florida as well. Across the board, right?
Yeah, we all said Dan Mullen. Yeah.
That's four downs brought to you by Vulcan Tires.
Best tire pricing in all of Birmingham. Quality of service second to none that is both quick and efficient. Two great locations. It's Vulcan Tire and Automotive.
I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.